The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio, thanking you for tuning in each and every week to find out the amazing things and programs that our students are doing in our schools across Long Island. This week, it's a special superintendent's roundtable, and we are once again joined by some of the finest superintendents in Suffolk County, but they are the old crew now because this is like your third show together. These are my go-to guys. It's Lars Clemenson. He's the superintendent at Hampton Bays, but you're also president of the Suffolk County School Superintendents Association, yes?
Past president.
And Dr. Ken Bossert, not to be confused with the News 12 new celebrity, but he's the superintendent of Elwood. And since Lars is the past president, are you the current head honcho?
That is correct, Bob.
That's right, because you guys came to a Nassau Suffolk School Board workshop and you put on a little sketch, and it was hysterical.
Tough act to follow, yeah, but I do my best.
I'm doing my best to mentor.
And Ron Massara, he is the current superintendent of Remsenburg Speonk, but soon to be the incoming superintendent for the Center Moriches School District. So congratulations, Ron. You're going to be just to the east of my home district of William Floyd, and welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you, Bob. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, gentlemen, it's always great to have you guys here. And the last time we spoke, we were talking about the upcoming legislative season, some of the budget concerns that we were going to have. So, you know, Albany, once again, on-time budget, that's a positive. Not enough funding, that's typical. And how the shares were divvied up, well, pretty much went what we were predicting, right? We now have the Democrats in control of every chamber, and we thought it would be city-centric, meaning more money for foundation aid, which meant more money for New York City, and not as much for Long Island, although some schools did benefit, William Floyd did, but nothing is ever optimal. They're not funding foundation aid the way they should based on CFE, and millions of dollars have been underfunded in education for years. So, budget-wise, let's start there. And Lars, I'll start with you. From a budget perspective, we're going to be voting on our budgets in less than a month. What are you hearing around Long Island? And tell us the story in your district.
Well, I think everything you said was just exactly right. On-time budget's helpful, first of all, for school leaders and boards to get a solid plan in place.
And they really got it down to the wire this year.
They did. They started voting with the last sands of the hourglass. But to see more foundation aid is great. It is disparate on Long Island, though. We had people that had a couple of shekels coming in, and then others that saw more that's driven by that formula. I think that's important. School districts across Long Island are looking to stay under the tax cap. I think there's only two
that are attempting to pierce, and that would be Wyandanche, that based on reports out of Newsday, there are some significant financial stressors going on in Wyandanche. So it'll be interesting to see, because it's a very high tax rate increase. And then it just broke the news recently with Eastport South Manor also seeking to pierce the cap. And they've been under some fiscal stress over the last couple of years, as reported by the comptroller. So only two districts on Long Island so far.
So it leaves everybody in a spot where their communities can again say we're being fiscally responsible. Districts in many cases are bringing back programs that were either cut in the Great Recession, mm-hmm. or taking an opportunity to evolve their programs because of opportunities they have, because assessed value went up and tax rate went down. Fiscally speaking, while there might not have been a windfall of dollars that have come in, there are a couple of policy things that were put in place that are important for us to know and keep our eye on. A TRS reserve, which has been a longstanding...
Something we've been advocating for at least the 15 years I'm sitting on a board.
Absolutely. So in times where TRS, that's teacher retirement system payments, are lower, and districts can find themselves in a surplus or have some fund balance at the end of the year, they can put dollars away with some significant parameters, clear parameters, so they're not just unending bank accounts.
Right, and for those people that sit there and say, oh, great, you get to hold more of my money, but it's to help smooth out those years where you see huge spikes in the amounts that now you have to contribute so that in a tax cap environment, which also has been made permanent, by the way, and we'll get into that in a minute, it'll help smooth out those issues. And the hypocrisy, you're always allowed to have an ERS reserve,
right,
not a TRS, so it never made sense.
It helps so districts don't add a program 1 year and then you see a spike in a cost that
right.
makes it take away. It gives communities stability.
Right. And Ken, from your school district perspective, how is the budget season looking? And another question to you, are you finding with your superintendents across Long Island, since the tax cap's been put in place and the majority of the school districts have learned the lesson, if you stay at or below the cap, you have about a 98% approval across the state. That's what the history has shown. If you try the Pierce the cap, it's really rolling the dice. But voter turnout has dropped dramatically. I know in my district, my voter turnout has gone way down, even if my approval margins have more than doubled and tripled in some cases. But in a district of almost 9,000 kids, if I have 1,500 people voting on a budget, I mean, that's scary, the voter apathy. Are you seeing the same thing in your colleague districts?
We are, Bob, and I think all the points you made are right on the money. Voter apathy is certainly a concern. We did a study in Elwood that indicated that we're receiving less than 20% of eligible voters participating in the process. The tax cap, I think, is largely responsible for that. Budgeting has become more simplistic in the tax cap era, in that I think the general rule that boards and superintendents are following is if they build their budget within that cap, they can count on voter support. I think that's why we see as few districts as we do attempting to pierce that cap. But then there is some flexibility. As you know, it's not a hard 2% cap, and there's right. flexibility that boards are given. I know William Floyd is one of those districts that had the opportunity to go beyond that 2% and elected not to.
Right.
I think part of that is based upon the belief of the voters that there is a 2% cap. In mm-hmm. Elwood last year, because of the exemptions, we had the opportunity to go to 4.5%, but the board elected to come in closer to 2.5%. Same thing this year. We went to our cap limit. While I have some concerns about voter apathy, I also have the confidence that since we're presenting a tax cap-friendly budget, it will meet with voter approval. That said, Elwood is a good example of one of those Long Island districts that didn't benefit from the $1 billion increase to the state aid package. We are perceived to be a wealthy district, but our actual revenues don't support that notion.
Right.
We needed to make $1.4 million in reductions from our $62 million budget in order to get it to be a tax cap friendly proposition. So some very difficult decisions had to be made within the district to come in under the cap.
So some of the things that school officials have been saying for years that would be a predictable outcome of a tax cap, certainly in its current form, are starting to come to fruition, that you are really starting to cut into program in an environment to avoid a defeated budget. And one of the things that did pass, the tax cap is now permanent. And one of the things, you know, that I've always found insane was, you know, ISLIP a few years ago, you know, had to get a supermajority to get to zero because their cap calculation brought them into a negative. And I don't think that was ever the intention. And here the state had an opportunity to correct it, and they didn't. And it's going to further hurt districts on Long Island in particular that are either going to further dip into reserves or cut into programs. And reserves are one-shot revenue, and you can't line it up with reoccurring expenses because that's a recipe for a nightmare. What are the chances of, obviously not this season, but revisiting changes to that tax cap? I think the answer was pretty clearly given to us this go around.
Well, what's interesting, Bob, is we had the opportunity to meet with some elected officials and do some advocacy work prior to the vote that made the tax cap permanent. And one of the things that was a bit discouraging about those conversations is a number of elected officials from Long Island that we greatly respect kind of entered those conversations with the mindset that they would vote to make the tax cap permanent so that the governor would have his legislation and assist in the budget process with the thought in mind that once it is permanent, they would then attempt to negotiate additional exemptions and additional flexibility. With
kind of like, let's pass the tax cap and we'll pass along mandate relief that we're still waiting for.
Correct. So,
that's my editorial comment.
So I think there might have been some flawed thinking in that.
Right.
And we do have some new members of the legislative team who may not have had that experience prior to. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to achieve that goal. But I think it might be a tough sell.
Great. From a policy standpoint, Ron, what were some of the other things that came out of this budget season, both positive and negative?
Well, I think there were some things, you know, as we said earlier, the TRS reserve was something that certainly was a positive. So that's something that we are definitely happy to see. One of the things that hasn't been changed in 16 years is the BOCES DS, the salary cap on district superintendents for BOCES. And that's something that, you know, we have great district superintendents throughout. Representing and supporting the superintendents in the region.
And again, that was another thing long time advocated for that, you know, finally somebody saw the light and said we need to do something. So hang on to that thought. When we come back from the break, we're also going to be talking about some other policy issues that are of major, major concern that could impact our districts that have nothing to do with education and a lot to do with security. And, of course, we're going to talk about online technology with testing. And how did it go this year? Well, not so well, and we'll get more into that when we come back. You're listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. We'll be right back.